This episode is brought to you in part by the American Homebrewers Association, a community of more than 40,000 fermentation enthusiasts from around the world. Visit homebrewersassociation.org for recipes, brewing tips, and conversation. homebrewersassociation.org. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, February 20th, 2020. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, it's hop sampler number 15. This week, Steve Wilkes and I compare small extract batches brewed with Sterling, Triumph, and Horizon hops. If you go to basicbrewing.com, you can find archives of our audio and video shows. And if you go to basicbrewingshop.com, you can find our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, and other Basic Brewing gear. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook as well. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing, and many thanks to everybody who's helping out in that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. This evening, Steve and I are planning to get together to shoot a couple of video episodes and record an audio episode, too. On the video side, we'll talk about what I'm calling a Maibock brewed with a Que Bueno from Imperial Organic Yeast. And I'm going to pair that with shredded chicken tacos with salsa verde from the Instant Pot. That's a delicious and fun recipe that only takes about an hour to make from start to finish. And financial supporters of the show have already seen a bonus video of me making that dish. So Steve and I plan to talk about and taste the first malt sampler as well. I tasted a couple of those last night, and they are delicious. It'll be fun to see how they stack up against each other. Let's see if I can remember which ones. I did Maris Otter, Golden Promise, and Brees Pale Ale Malt. Speaking of L09 Que Bueno from our friends and sponsors at Imperial Organic Yeast, I brewed a second beer with that seasonal strain that's available through the end of February. And this beer is what I'm calling a black lager. It's made from Pilsner malt, midnight wheat, a little melanoidin, and a tiny bit of brown malt. Because I wanted it to be dark, but not roasty. The wort going into the fermenter tasted pretty chocolatey, so I'm really interested to see how that comes out. The Que Bueno from Imperial fermented my Maibock very cleanly, and it flocculated very well. So the beer in the keg is very pretty and clear and delicious. I've had a hard time keeping away from it so that Steve and I'll actually have some to sample for the video this evening. I've got high hopes for the dark lager and plan to keg it this week. Casey at Imperial says L09 Que Bueno is known for its crisp, dry finish, and I can attest to that. She says it's an excellent choice for Vienna lagers, Maibocks, and more. You know we love Imperial Organic Yeast. Imperial has the highest pitch rate at 200 billion cells. My stir plate is dusty, because I don't make starters anymore for a moderate gravity 5-gallon batches. And Imperial has top-notch tech support and customer service. So ask your local homebrew shop about Imperial Organic Yeast and look for L09 Que Bueno until the end of this month. And look for a couple of videos coming up featuring that yeast. Let's take a look into the mailbag. Ryan writes with a problem or an issue, or if in the corporate world, a challenge, an opportunity. Ryan says, I brewed a stout about 6 weeks ago. Long story short, I really messed up the mash. My thermometer was malfunctioning, and I didn't realize until it was too late. Once I realized the problem and found another thermometer, I was mashing at 172 degrees in a cooler mash tun. Ryan says, I let it ride. Fast forward, and I have what you expect, a very low attenuated beer that has some odd sweet flavors. I've left it alone in the kegerator and pulled a sample this afternoon, and it's still not very good, barely drinkable. Ryan asks, my question is, if I remove the keg from the cold and put it in a closet that's roughly 65 to 70 degrees, will it possibly age and become a drinkable beer? Or will it go bad being moved from the cold? Well, I'm sorry to hear about that, Ryan. But here's what I wrote back to Ryan. I said, this is just a guess. but I'm assuming that a temperature change isn't going to make the beer better. If the yeasts are done fermenting, if they've hit the final gravity there, that gravity is not going to change. It's not going to get drier. And if the beer is under CO2 pressure, in the keg, it won't likely go bad. But as the beer ages and the hops fade, it's probably going to seem even sweeter over time. So here are some thoughts. You could add some hops or another ingredient, say oak or coconut, into the beer to try to change the balance of flavors. You could blend the beer with another beer to achieve a more balanced final product. And you could even do that in the glass. You take a beer that is, say, super hoppy and add some of this sweeter beer to see what happens, in the glass. You could pitch some, you could rack, into a fermenter and pitch some Brettanomyces or other wild, quote-unquote, organisms to ferment that beer down some more. So, I don't know. I hope that gives you some inspiration. I would hate to think that you'd have to go to all that effort and just to throw the beer out. So maybe I hope that Ryan will find a good solution to that super sweet beer and write back to us and tell us what he did. I saw a post from our friends and sponsors Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa the other day online. They're working on a new video demonstrating their Warthog Brew-in-a-Bag electric system, which is what I have, as you probably know. It's not only great for brewing delicious beers. I used it the other day to cook some sous vide ribeyes for Valentine's Day, and I posted some pictures of that. I put a bunch of water in the kettle and dialed up the Warthog controller to 140 degrees Fahrenheit or 60 C on the mash mode. And then I vacuum sealed the steaks and put them in the water for 2.5 hours to get them done, to the level that we wanted all the way through. And of course, the Warthog controller held the temperature rock steady that whole time. And at the end of that sous vide step, I put the steaks on the grill for a couple of minutes to give some flavor and color. And the meat was done perfectly all the way through. So, not only for brewing, but for cooking as well. I have the 62-quart Bayou Classic kettle with the Warthog controller and the 240-volt element. But if you go to highgravitybrew.com, you can choose from several kettle options, now including a 15-gallon spike kettle. Of course, there's different pricing on the different kettle options, and you can check that out at highgravitybrew.com for details. And if you want to, of course, if you want a 2 or 3 vessel system, High Gravity can fix you up there too, from 5 gallons all the way up to 2 barrels. Take the pain out of propane with an electric system from family owned and operated highgravitybrew.com and use the code EBC75BB to save $75 off your electric brewing purchase. That's at highgravitybrew.com. Okay, it's hard to believe we're already at our 15th hop sampler. This week, Steve and I tackle Sterling, Triumph, and Horizon. Well, Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James, and welcome to the store.
Yeah, thanks for having me. We're sequestered away in the office, the business office of stevesbrewshop.com, and we've got three samples in front of us. What hops have we got this time?
We have Sterling, Triumph, and Horizon.
And these are hops that you suggested, that you got specifically for this purpose.
Well, I did. It's like we ran out of hops to do the hop sampler with, so now I have to carry more hops. So I went on the old wholesale list store and said, "What do I carry?" That no, actually, these are new hops to the store, and we thought, well, let's try them and see what we think about them.
Yeah, I thought about just doing lemon drop, you know, three samples of lemon drop again, since we've done it twice on the show accidentally. yeah, we need to start a spreadsheet. I had a piece of paper somewhere, or you know, a list, a document at some point, but I don't know how we got lemon drop on there twice.
Well, it's double good.
So what we've got here, and I forgot my logbook at home, so I can't. I'll have to insert later in post-production how much of each of these hops that I used. But the theory is that we're tasting these blind. They are 1 gallon batches, or I make a six pack. So it is 3 quarts of filtered water, and then I added 1 pound or 450 grams of Pilsen light dry malt extract. Actually, for this time, I wanted to try a little experiment. So I actually boiled for 15 minutes. So I added like 3 quarts and like a cup. And I'll put those details in post. Hi, this is James from the future. I actually used 3 quarts and 2 cups. So that's 3.5 quarts or 3.31 liters. Back to the past. So I added a little more water because I was going to boil for 15 minutes. And so I boiled the wort for 15 minutes, shut off the heat, and then I put in this amount of hops in each. James from the future again. I used 28 grams of Sterling at 9.7% alpha acid, 25 grams of Triumph at 10.8% alpha acid, and 10 grams of Horizon, or 13% alpha acid, and that's each hop into each batch. Back to the past. Okay, so thank you, James from the future. and I let them sit for 10 minutes. So instead of the regular 30-minute hop stand, I set them for 10 minutes, and then chilled it in an ice bath, and then fermented with 3 grams each of USO5 dry yeast. And then at bottling time, I primed with one of the Cooper's carbonation drops. So I changed up a little bit just for funsies. So do the beers taste any different?
No, not really. Not that I can. My tasting memory isn't that great. But they don't taste different, but they all taste good.
Yeah.
The beers were really, really tasty.
Yeah, I did it because I was having trouble with head retention again. And I thought, you know, is there something getting in there that's causing problems with the head? And so that's why I boiled the extract just as a test to see, you know, if that made a difference. And I do think that these are fairly flat right now, but I poured some out last night as a sample to make sure these were carbonated. And the head, I sent you a picture because it was a nice big foamy head.
Yeah.
So, who knows if that made a difference or not?
I don't know.
So, we've got these three hops, and then we've got descriptors of these three hops. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sample these three beers separately, talk about our impressions, and then read the descriptors randomly. So, they're all three, overall, they're delicious beers, I think.
They're all really nice and light, but they are different. So that's nice. Sometimes the hops are so close together in their flavor profiles, it's like, uh-oh. So I may guess wrong on which one they are, but they are all different.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any strong opinions on number one?
Well, not really. I mean, it tastes really nice. Let me sample it one more time.
It tastes like a nice American pale ale with lots of hops at the end. The bitterness is nice, and there's a good level of bitterness in there. I'm not getting a lot of like citrus fruits. I'm not getting like grapefruit or lemon or tangerine or anything like that. I'll step out there and I'll say that I'm getting kind of like a melon kind of thing, like a cantaloupe, more along that flavor. Rather than the typical citrus fruits, or maybe like a mango,
Yep.
Or something like that?
Yeah, I kind of get a softer, ripe melon flavor. I also get kind of a little bit of a peppery flavor in the back end of the beer. But it's not an astringent flavor. It's kind of a like a grains of paradise kind of flavor. And you're right, and I don't get any kind of pine or, you know, Chinook-esque kind of flavor. So, no, and it's a real traditional beer flavor. Dare I say it, it's easy to drink.
It's quaffable. So we're thinking kind of soft tropical fruit or soft melon kind of fruit.
Yeah, kind of melon with some collie.
It's a melancholy.
Yeah, baby.
I have melancholic. It won't stop crying.
That's my joke.
Okay, let's read the randomized first descriptor.
Okay, it's the number. This is not number one, but it's the first one we'll read. Sterling. Sterling's pedigree includes Sots, Cascade, Brewer's Gold, Early Green, and other European varieties. Mm. So it's like hops and more. It was released in 1998 as a higher alpha replacement for Sots with improved disease resistance and storability. Brewing applications include it's a dual-purpose hop, although primarily used for its exciting, pleasant aromatics. Sterling's alpha acid levels can contribute in the kettle as well, a good choice for hop-forward lagers, Belgian ales, and other continental styles.
Oh.
Due to continental. Moderate and pleasingly hoppy, the sensory...
Now that's a general descriptor from the hop manufacturers.
Yeah, slow those guys down. Prominent herbal quality reminiscent of Sots with flashes of candied citrus, sweet grass, bright spice, and dried hay.
Mm. Bright spice was my favorite spice girl.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I have to say that these first two descriptors come from stevesbrewshop.com.
Yep.
So, okay. So
that's number one descriptor, though that's
right.
Not necessarily number one beer.
Right. Candied citrus, sweet grass, bright spice, and dried hay. Okay. All right.
Now, see, I don't think that that's the spear.
I don't think. Not from those descriptors, no. Okay, number two.
Number two.
Oh, that's different.
Yeah, it is.
Hmm. Jump out there first.
Well, it's even softer. It's even riper. It's really got a soft palate.
Mm-hmm.
Like if the other one was some melon, this is even riper melon.
But I do get a sharper, either it's a sharper bitterness or a sharper kind of acidity to it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. There's a little bit of a bite at the front end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. And I don't know if that's, you know, like a citrusy. It's more citrusy to me than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm gonna have to disagree with you on it being mellower than the first one. I think it's a little sharper.
I think you're right. Now that I've had two or three swigs of it,
mm-hmm.
Now I'm kind of picking up more of like almost a lemon lime.
Mm-hmm.
It's very tropical, but it's more almost like a almost reminds me of a margarita.
Mm.
A little bit.
Yeah. I just heard on the way in on the 70s channel on the satellite Margaritaville. So
there you go.
Yeah. We're wasting away here.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see that. That kind of green margarita mixer flavor.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Lemon lime. It even almost reminds me strongly enough of, like when you get a beer in a Mexican restaurant and they put a lime in it?
Oh, yeah. 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 This comes with the lime already included. I've told this story on this podcast before, but I went to a Mexican restaurant in Springdale, and the best beer they had on the menu was a Bass Ale, which is a good beer.
Yeah.
But they brought it to me in the bottle, and there was a lime sticking out of the top of the...
Hey, whatever
whatever works.
They got confused with the limeys, I guess, with the... That's not offensive, is it? Limeys, is that an offensive...
No, English.
I come from there. My genes are from there mostly, so... Okay, descriptor number two.
Okay, so descriptor number two is for Triumph.
Triumph.
I always wanted a Triumph motorcycle, by the way.
Ooh.
Yeah. Still want one.
Shameless plug, maybe, yeah. Though.
Triumph was selected out of the USDA Hop Breeding and Genetics Program at Corvallis, Oregon, and released in 2018. Ooh. So it's a brand new hop.
Wow.
Bring applications are primarily aroma as a single hop or in a blend. Sensory paddle on it includes intense and fruity. It's intense and fruity with prominent bubblegum, peach, lime, and orange, backed by flashes of spice and pine.
Oh. Hmm.
Now, that does kind of sound like the one we just tasted to me.
Yeah. 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 I didn't get much bubblegum.
No, but I got a ton of peach and lime and orange all kind of flowing around together. More lime and orangey kind of things. Peach and bubblegum, maybe not so much, but... And then the flashes of spice... I didn't get so much pine, though, either. Do you?
No. I mean, it's... I mean, I could be talked into thinking it's piney, but that descriptor didn't come up when I was tasting. And
I still don't.
No, okay. It's not like, you know, a traditional piney thing. Although, maybe if you put it closer to the beginning of the boil, maybe you get more of the piney stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
That's one of the challenges of this format, is that we're tasting the hops in this at this very specific time to add them, and that's for a hop stand.
Right.
I like the... What do you think about the 10-minute edition? Well, that's the one that we liked the best on the previous show when we did the hop stand length experiment. What do you think of these beers?
Well, I think the beers in general are really good. Mm-hmm. I really like the flavor of these beers a lot. They don't have any kind of harshness to them. There's plenty of hop character in them. I almost feel like it picked up kind of the best of all the worlds as far as pulling out what you want from the hops. The hop character is really bright and fresh and flavorful. And a lot of times when I taste some beers and they're just too dank or dark tasting somehow, I think, but these don't have any of those characteristics.
Yeah, I agree. I think that these, it's easier to taste the different different hop flavors with these beers than the previous batches, the 30-minute batches. Mm-hmm. I think that 10-minute, it really shows off the character of the hop more. It's easier.
Yeah.
I'm all for easy. Yeah. Okay, so we're tasting number three at this point. Huh. Compared to these other two, it's kind of one-dimensional, in my opinion.
Yeah. It's not unpleasant. It doesn't have the pop of the other two.
It's got a nice level of bitterness. But then again, it's not. It doesn't have all those fruity, you know, the mango or the peach or the whatever, or the citrus that the other two have. It's kind of a, like I say, it's a nice beer.
Yeah.
But it's something more along the line of the hop character that you would get out of more of a Pilsner or something like that.
Yeah, it's really restrained. It's a real quiet hop. It doesn't just doesn't pop very much. And that's not a... I don't really mean that as a ding so much. It's like refined isn't really the right word, because it's no more refined than the others, I don't suppose, but it just doesn't quite have the presence as the other two beers.
Yeah, it just it's not as juicy. It's not as fruit juicy or you know, the other two I could be convinced, you know, that there may be a fruit addition in there somehow, or some, you know, some adjunct in there to make it taste more fruity or citrusy or whatever. This one, it's just a nice solid beer. Maybe a cream ale would be more, just kind of a, you know, cream ale made with you know, maybe noble hops.
Yeah, it's just it's kind of a little bit floral and herbal. Definitely not, you know, the big bouquet kind of hop that we've kind of all gotten enamored of. But I like the beer quite well.
Yeah.
And I would think that using this in a real traditional style of beer, like a Helles, you know, something like that would be just right for it. Mm-hmm. Or even like a bitter, you know, a British bitter, something where you don't want it to be about the hops so much. And you want the hops to kind of take a second place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So nice, clean bitterness character, but not much as far as the fruitiness is concerned. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go back and taste number 2 and 1 again. Hmm. Boy, number 1 is really popping as far as that fruit character is concerned. So no, it's not, you know, at first I thought, well, maybe my palate's just fatigued and I'm not tasting those things anymore. But no, and number 3 is actually just cleaner.
Yeah, it's just cleaner and quieter. Mm-hmm. And the other two are just, they're more like puppies. They're just kind of running around in my palate.
Okay, so we ready for a descriptor, number 3.
Number 3 is Horizon. This comes from hoplist.com. Oh, and the other two came from my website, but of course I took them from the people I bought them from. So, for a disclaimer, I didn't write those. Because if I had written them, it would have been like smooth, malty, easy to drink.
You search for smooth on your website, and every single product pops up.
That's right. Can't go wrong.
Tasty.
Yeah.
All the hops.
Yeah. I love this one. Okay. Horizon is a versatile hop with some star qualities. Or I could have read that as some star qualities. Created in Oregon in 1970, Horizon is a diploid hop with a half-sister to Nugget.
Huh.
Which is a nice hop. I like Nugget. Mm. Considered dual use, it has high alpha acids, but also low cohumulin, a trait considered highly favorable when bittering. It's high myrcene and high...
Farnesene.
Faversham. It's high Faversham content. That's the British version of it. It's high Faversham content. Give it some great aroma and flavor notes too, both floral and citrusy.
Huh.
Well.
So the descriptor is kind of flat.
A little. Wow. Huh. I don't know. I'm going to.
Well, I hate it when they come out 1, 2, 3 like we're thinking, or at least what I'm thinking.
They kind of almost do, you know.
But, yeah. Let's see. Number 1 was, or Sterling had herbal quality reminiscent of sods with flashes of candied citrus, sweet grass, bright spice, and dried hay. Okay. Triumph was intense and fruity, with prominent bubblegum, peach, lime, and orange, backed by flashes of spice and pine. And then Horizon was great aroma and flavor, both floral and citrusy. Boy, I think I know, I'd like to think that I know what number 2 is.
Well, I think. Well, I have my thoughts about it. I don't know. Do you want to go ahead and go out there?
Yeah. Do you have a strong opinion on any of them? Any of the 3 beers?
I don't have a strong opinion, but I have an opinion. I'll go ahead and go.
Okay.
I think that number 2 is Sterling.
Oh.
I think that number 1 is Triumph, and I think that number 3 is Horizon.
Ah, okay. Well, I think number 1 is Sterling, number 2 is Triumph, and number 3 is Horizon. I go 1, 2, 3 according to the descriptors, and you just flipped the first 2.
1 and 2.
Okay.
So, well, shall we find out?
I guess so.
Okay.
Okay, number one, which is what we thought was Melanie.
Yeah, I liked her. I liked her song.
Yeah, I got a brand new pair of roller skates.
Yep.
And it is
Sterling.
Sterling. Ooh, I got it right.
You got it right, and I got it wrong. Well, we don't know yet.
Well, I got one right.
Yeah. Now we have to know if we got these.
Okay, number one. Number two.
Number two.
I thought was Triumph.
Number two is Horizon.
Oh.
So I didn't get any of them right.
Well, I got the first one right.
Well, it shows you what I know.
Huh. And then number three, we're making sure.
Yeah, number three is Triumph.
Huh.
Well, that's craziness. That's crazy talk.
Hmm.
Okay. So it tells me that these descriptions are all screwed.
So we thought number one was Melanie tasting, and they said Sterling was moderate to and pleasant hoppy, prominent herbal quality reminiscent of Sots with flashes of candied citrus,
mm-hmm.
sweet grass, bright spice, and dried hay. So I thought candied,
yeah.
The word candied got to me.
And yeah, I completely agree with you, except I didn't when I picked. I thought that the Triumph, well, I thought number two popped the best for me. It was the one that had the most, it was my favorite.
Yeah,
so I like Horizon the best.
Yeah, it was more balanced. Yeah, the Horizon, yeah, the flavors were more balanced. It wasn't like super sweet and like hop candy.
Mm-hmm.
But it still had more character than number three. So, yeah, number two was, yeah, the Horizon was my favorite.
So forget the official descriptions. We liked Horizon the best.
Yeah.
And in this test, we liked Triumph the least. But that doesn't mean we didn't like it. It just didn't work in this very limited sample as well. We thought it was best used as a kind of a quiet hop in, say, a Hellas, yeah.
And to tell the truth, number three, the Triumph, might be the beer that I would have a couple of pints of.
Yeah, for sure. Exactly. So that's a good point, because the ones, it's like I said, if number one and number two are like puppies running around in your mouth, you get tired of that after a while.
Yeah.
I don't want a puppy running around in my mouth very long. So
I mean, one pint of either of those would be fun. It's like, oh, that's tasty.
Yeah.
But do I want another one? It's like eating two maple logs or something.
Right, exactly.
It's kind of like that first one is like, wow. But then do I want to eat a second one? No, I'll go back to the cake donut.
Yep, exactly. Good. That's a good way to put it. Very interesting.
So, yeah, of this tasting, I think we liked the Horizon
mm-hmm.
The best. Just because it was more balanced, fun and fruity, but still had nice bitterness.
Mm-hmm.
But from a practical standpoint, for everyday drinking, the Triumph.
Mm-hmm.
And Sterling was more kind of a novelty.
Yeah.
Beer in this
mm-hmm.
application.
And so the way I thought of Sterling, I think of it as kind of super Sots, and that's so it's like a replacement for Sots, but I think it's more powerful. The flavor is different to me.
Oh yeah,
it's yeah. Sots is a lot more subtle and floral and
yeah. I don't see this one in a Pilsner or a traditional beer.
I don't either. So I see it more in kind of big, I don't know, Belgian IPAs
Ooh.
And. I could see it in there. I could
That'd
see
be
it.
Good. Yeah, that'd be fun to taste what the Belgian yeast did to mm-hmm. that.
And of course, that's the fun of beer. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. you got four basic ingredients, and you get 9,000 beers out of them. So
at least,
yeah.
Cool. Wow. Well, okay. Very good. I got one.
I got none. I got none.
Yeah, I guess you got none.
Oh well.
Oh well. It was fun.
Yeah.
So a Sterling Triumph and Horizon. Check them out. All right.
How many licks to get to Horizon?
A one, a two,
a three.
A three. All right. Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, James.
Well, thanks again to Steve of stevesbrewshop.com. Really looking forward to tasting our first malt sampler tonight, so stay tuned. In the meantime, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to James at basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com, and please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.